Blog Talk Radio.
There's a sickness in the land, so heaven, heal it. There's a sickness in the land, so heaven, heal it. Oh, there's a sickness in the land, so we're reaching up our hands. Heaven, we need you to heal it. There's a child crying out right now.
Oh, heaven, we need you to heal it.
Oh, there's a child crying out right now.
Heaven, we need you to heal it.
Heaven, send your angels down. Put peace in their hearts right now.
Whoa,
we need
you to heal it.
Heal it. Oh, heaven,
we need
you to
heal it.
Oh, the land, heaven,
we need
you to
heal it.
Heal the land, oh,
we need you to heal it.
Ooh, America,
heal it.
And all of the nations,
heal it.
Politics, yeah,
heal it.
Family,
heal it.
Planet Earth,
heaven, we need you to heal it.
God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders Internet Radio, where we are blessed to be a blessing. I am your host, Sybil Peoples, and I have today Elder Melvin G. Peoples, Jr. How are you, Elder?
I'm fine. Thank you, my dear. Thank God for another opportunity to be blessed with the privilege of sharing words and conversation with the people of God.
Awesome. Well, welcome to our broadcast. The name of this show is entitled Sowing and Reaping, Spiritual Sowing. Elder, do you want to discuss where we left off or take a new direction? I'm excited about some different ideas that I would like to share with the listeners tonight. Did you have something to say, or can I just dive in?
Well, I think I'm going to follow your lead. You seem to be inspired, and you got something that you want to share. And by the leading of the Holy Ghost and the true and the living God, we will dive in and try to make it live and something that people can really benefit from.
We pray. In fact, let's do that. Let's start out with prayer before we have our discussion.
Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, dear Lord, we just want to thank you for another wonderful opportunity to share in the words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We thank you for the many graces and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us as well as our listeners. We ask you to smile upon this broadcast, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. Guide us and direct us by your Spirit. We trust you for the outcome, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to also encourage our listeners to sow into Kingdom Builders Daughters International. My listeners may to giveify.com. Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. You can download the app on your cell phone, or you can email Kingdom Builders International at Gmail, or you can make a payment with PayPal. You may also, if the internet isn't your choice to get things done, you can also mail Kingdom Daughters at 19785 West 12 Mile Road, Southfield, Michigan, 48076, Suite 309. Or you may call 313-583-9739. And at the opening, if I failed to mention, we are blessed to be a blessing. This Kingdom Daughters is good ground to sow into. Doing a great work, great ministry, and the name of the show is Sowing and Reaping. We want to always have our life and our activities patterned after the God that we say we love and care about, and his nature is to give. Most famous scripture, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, the Lord's not asking you for your son or daughter, but he is asking us to have a heart to give and be a person who is willing to share.
Yes, and we thank God just for those who have made the sacrifice to make this a reality on a weekly basis. We realize that we are workers together, one another in the kingdom of God, and whatever we can do to make it happen, we do appreciate the opportunities and to share and to be a blessing to the people of God. And for those of you who are out there who value ministry and word of God, be sure to support Kingdom Ministries and also just be a blessing to the program.
Amen. I also want to encourage my listeners that if you cannot stay with us this complete hour today, or you would like to share the ministry, the show with others, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. I'm sorry, I am really tongue-tied today. www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI and follow the links so that you may see this event and other events and services available. Well, Elder, we're sitting with the topic of sowing and reaping, spiritual sowing. The show tries to differentiate between just sometimes the common mindset is sowing is related to money, but sowing can be anything under the heaven. The spiritual sowing, the things that we do or the sacrifices we make, purposedly the sacrifices we make for and pertaining to our relationship with God, we shall reap blessings.
Amen. You know, the principle of sowing, so often in the modern church, we have associated with the sowing of finances, which we all know that are necessary for doing the work of the ministry. But so we fail to realize that in the background, and people don't get the accolades, of course, as much as those who are out front, prayer and fasting and those who are going before the Lord in behalf of the body of Christ is a great principle of sowing that sometimes we overlook because we are more acclimated to focus on those who have a greater visibility in the body of Christ, those who have the titles such as the prophets, the pastors, evangelists, teachers, ministers, or whatever, those who are front. But we can all do our part in the ministry of the Lord by sowing in prayer. Amen. There are people who are praying behind the scenes for hours and hours a day. Amen. For those who are out front. And sometimes we forget that many times that the power that we see displayed through those who have the responsibility of being out front, it comes from those who are on their knees. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's a sowing that everyone can participate in. We just Amen. Have to call on the name of the Lord and get his will firmly planted in our heart and know what to pray for and what to seek him for. Amen. And then we bring it back to him who is able to fulfill it.
Amen. And as I give thought to that, this is food for thought, as I like to call it. We have relationship with God, and we have the Word of God, and the Word of God, of course, is instruction on righteous living. It is the manual to how our lives are supposed to be, and it's also an autobiography of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this accessible to us. We are instructed through the word that we should pray without ceasing. And at the same time, we don't have to. We're instructed to. The choice is ours to make. God calls us to it. And then when we are obedient, he rewards us greatly. So, yes, it is often an assumption that when you have a title, a position, or public responsibility to pray for the people or live a righteous life or any of those things we mentioned, it is such a wonderful thing and an honor and blessing to realize that God is not a big club man where he's knocking us over the head and even punishing us because we don't follow or we choose to follow our own way and not his way. But in doing so, there is, again, great reward.
Amen. You know, you mentioned the prayer warriors in the background. You know, we fail to recognize how important and how powerful that is for ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, people who have committed to pray, you know, the old mothers of the church and the men and the women who don't have a high-profile position, and they're often silent in many ways, but they're on their face crying out unto the Lord, making things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the body of Christ, with all of our gifting, unfortunately, I think is probably more popular now than it has been probably in the history of the church, that those who are out front are the ones who often receive all of the great accolades, but it's behind the scenes is where the spiritual work is really done. Behind the scenes is where the spiritual warfares are taking place with those who are so-called, as we say, not wrestling against flesh and blood, but they're in the spiritual battlefield fighting for those who are out front, those who are delivering the word, the apostle or the prophet or the evangelist or the pastor or the teacher. It's those people who are invisible who are really, really making it happen.
Amen. Such a wonderful thing to sow in prayer.
Amen.
To reap spiritual reaping, if
yes.
I could call it. And I want to add this amendment to even to what we're talking about when we talk about sowing or prayer. I find it so interesting. You mentioned mothers or seniors, elders, oftentimes have come to a place in age and they can't physically maybe do a lot of other things that maybe the young do so readily and easily. But I want to go a little deeper into the idea of prayer. I know that my blessed grandmother would keep her eyes on those around her. She would notice her neighbors, or she would notice those who would frequent the neighborhood. And my grandmother was a window watcher.
Okay.
I mean, you could come down the street, you could drive down the street, or even, you know, walk the sidewalk, and my grandmother, Miss Lee, would be sitting in the window. But I remember her, and I remember her observation and her, affirmation. She would sit in the window and she would see a neighbor and she would say, "Ooh, she can't hardly walk. Lord, help her, help her, Lord." You know, and a lot of people don't see that as prayer, but having the mind or having the disposition that God would have, having a God-like thought processes, like you could imagine if Jesus was sitting in the window. He may say similarly, and not always thinking that prayer is this formality, Heavenly Father and Great One, Almighty Lord, and calling out someone's name and express details that you may feel led to pray, but just simply saying, "Help them, Lord."
Amen.
It's a form of prayer.
Amen. You know, I remember we talk about prayer. You know, I guess that's the way the Lord is moving us. I remember when I first got saved, I was a 25-year-old man. That was many, many years ago. And I didn't know anything about the church, and didn't know anything about prayer. But I learned from those mothers of the church. I remember a mother, Ora Berry, at the church that I attended in Gary, Indiana, Logan Park Assembly, and there was also Mother Beatrice Bozeman. And those women and several others, they were always, they had morning prayer throughout the week. And they would be down there in that basement praying, and you know, and I was learning the way, you know, because I wasn't raised in a church. I would go to church every Easter like a lot of people do for the, you know, religiosity of it. But learning the importance of prayer through those who did not have a very, very visible public display. Mm-hmm. They weren't behind the pulpit often, you know, they were constantly in your ear, though. They were women of God that were led by God in prayer. And if they got things from the Lord, they would come and share it with you, mm-hmm. and you know, let you know that God had you in mind and that you were special, and to stay encouraged. And you know, it was just a wonderful foundation and a wonderful experience to realize that, you know, people that sometimes we forget about. You know, we have in the modern church, we have become so accustomed to whoever stands up in the pulpit, whoever, you know, is in front of the crowd. But it's the behind the scenes warfare, you know, the spiritual warfare, prayer, people that you may not even talk to, people that you barely know but know you, uh-huh. that are calling out your name before the Lord, and that God has put them on, put you, you know, on their hearts. And so it's just a wonderful reality to understand the importance of prayer as we look back on it from a historical standpoint.
Yes. I don't know why we rehearsed the story tonight, but I remember, and maybe someone may disagree with me when I paint this picture or share this description, this sacrifice to soul, sacrifice to give of my will, my thoughts, my ideas, and take on the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. We were in Walmart. Mm-hmm. One evening, we were doing some shopping, and I encountered a clerk. And it, as the people say, this clerk was a temptation for me to lose my religion. She tried me, oh my, I don't know whether you remember this evening. I was in the fabric department,
yeah.
buying some fabric. And
yeah, I remember when, your countenance changed.
and all of my effort to be Christ-like and be polite and be respectful, after she cut the fabric I wanted, she threw it at me on the table. Whoosh.
Thank God for the new suit. You're born again, Holy Ghost filled.
I remember what you said to me, too, because I was lit. I just couldn't believe how disrespectful she was and all that had transpired. And you said, Sybil, you just don't know. You don't know what her life details or what she's going through. And it gave me a moment to pause. I heard this once from the Holy Ghost, grace for grace.
Amen.
To show grace toward someone that I would receive grace.
Amen.
And that to me is a good example of maybe not a case scenario of prayer, because we did before it was over, and after I got my bearing back, I did pray for her. But it is that in that moment, choosing not to go the path of the not born again Sybil, but the born again Sybil.
I'm regenerated.
Okay. Okay. So we can go with that description. But, you know, telling somebody off, you know, taking the opportunity to get a sister told and taken on the mind of Christ that would show grace, that would go one step further, not just jumping in on the offense. That is a sacrifice.
Amen.
It is a form of sowing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give one more story and then I'm going to let you have the floor. I had a situation when I was working for the government, and another Christian cussed me out. Oh, she was upset with me. And I was led. I'm not saying every time, every case scenario will be identical, but this time I was led not to respond. A day later, another young woman who was straddling the fence with whether God was real or not, she came to me and she said, I know there is a God, because after I witnessed how she treated you, it restored, it brought faith to me.
Amen.
Because of the way you handled her.
Yes.
So that's a form of sowing.
Amen.
Spiritual sowing. When we are behind closed doors or even in the public, it is what God is pleased with.
Amen. And you, that brings out a good point. It shows that as spirit-filled, born-again believers in Christ, we are always on stage.
Yeah.
Whether or not we have on our stage attire is secondary.
Uh-huh.
But we're always on stage. We're not always in the spiritual milieu of the Christian community, but we are on stage. And at any given time, we can be tested with something that's very valuable, which is another person's perspective, amen, of us.
Well, when you say we're on stage, I think about some of the messages I've heard from the pulpit. We do have other humans watching us.
Amen.
But there's also the heavenly court.
Yes.
That we also are being recorded or assessed.
Amen.
Or it is being noted.
Yes.
How we are and who we are in the heavenly courts.
Amen.
With our actions with men.
Yes, and that brings up a valuable point. It makes us to more cognizant of the fact that we are, and one songwriter wrote a song, you know, the world is a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's playing a part.
Mm-hmm.
And we are playing a part on a stage where the world is the audience. You know, we have an opportunity, and that's what we sometimes fail to embrace, is that when we are being challenged or mistreated, we have an opportunity. You know, some people see it, if you offend me, it deprives me.
Oh, yeah.
You see, it's a deprivation. I've something's been taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it from a spiritual connotation, it means something is given to you.
Okay, Paul. Spiritually, something's given to
you. And let me finish it. Something is given to you because you are given an opportunity
to produce.
I'll use this phrase that people can make a connection with. You are given a spiritual opportunity to produce a spiritual Oscar.
I like that.
And that's spontaneous. They're by the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
You have this opportunity to give the performance of a lifetime before an individual who very well may need it. Yeah, and we don't. That's why we don't know where people are, and that's why we have to be, as the apostles taught, we have to be slow to anger.
Yeah,
because we don't know at any given time where a individual is in regard to their life dynamics.
Uh-huh.
We don't know if they're going through severe pain. We don't know if they're emotionally scarred or hurt. And they're acting out. And we have to be at our best because we have to take advantage of the opportunity that has been invested in us.
Mm-hmm.
To be healers to the nation. And I use that in a very broad sense to say nation being people.
Mm-hmm.
We are the healers, or we are the ones that are going to restore that hope and confidence.
Yes, like the girl came up to me after I was belittled and cussed out in public, and that was the item that made her see God.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking Oscars, huh? Did you say
spiritual
Oscars?
That spontaneously came up out of Holy Spirit. And I think most people can relate to the idea of an Oscar.
Okay.
You know, the winner is a big time Hollywood winner of the, you know, and Oscar goes to.
let's talk about this.
Sometimes as believers, we get Oscars because there's some folk that can really, really challenge you and cause you, as we say, to get outside of the Holy Ghost. Is some of those
lose your religion,
lose your throw your Bible down and say, all right.
But I do want to be clear because I like the phrase. I do want to be clear. Oh, let me go here. Years ago, I used to sell Mary Kay.
Okay.
And always going to these multi-level marketing pep rallies, they had a phrase, fake it till you make it. That was my first time hearing it. I don't know who started it, but it was catchy, and it was something to permanently apply in my life. So when we say spiritual Oscar, it is, in some case scenarios, you may not feel it.
Amen.
It may
Amen.
Not be your reality.
That's true.
But it is your calling
yes.
to carry it out or fake it till you make it.
Amen.
And the fake it till you make it is having a God-taught response until you have a transformed heart
Amen.
That is instinctive to respond that way.
Yes.
So we do have on the stage of life times where we must produce without feeling it.
Amen. And we know it within ourselves because we have that personal relationship with our own intimacy and we know ourselves as characters. We kind of know, I believe, when we have been victorious
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the pre-Christian Melvin, you know, I could take a lot of stuff, folk talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't a great challenge. You could say what you want to say about my mama and my daddy, and you could say whatever you wanted to. But if you kind of got too close, it might not have been a good thing.
Okay.
And so we're growing in places where we did not necessarily have strength at. You know, and many of us, you know, some people are not going to retaliate or they're not going to respond, and they're still in their natural flesh.
Yeah.
You see, we think that it's a meek response,
mm-hmm.
but it's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when God can get us to respond outside of our natural character, outside of Adam, then we're working. We're going somewhere.
And that's a real good point because there are some people that is a personality trait.
Amen.
So yes. taking on the mind of God for some could be speaking up.
Yes. That's true. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And that was the point that I was trying to make is that when we're responding outside of who we are
mm-hmm.
by nature
mm-hmm.
and we have risen to the level of a spiritual success,
mm-hmm.
we know that we are going somewhere.
Okay.
In our spiritual journey.
And that's what it's all about, spiritual reaping and sowing.
Amen.
The things, the items, the practices that sometimes we don't see all the time.
Amen.
Most of our day is consumed with our details, life, groceries and dinner, breakfast, work, family, bills, personal interactions, people.
Yes.
P-E-E-P-L-E-S and P-E-O-P-L-E.
Right.
Peoples and peoples. We tend to not see it as those natural things. We tend to not see it as spiritual song.
Amen. But I think what happens is that we forget that everything we do has a spiritual connotation.
Everything, Melvin.
Yes. and when I think spiritual, I'm not making a judgment about whether it is godly spiritual or natural or humanistic.
Okay.
I'm saying everything we do, we're either gonna We're going to yield to the Spirit of God, or we're going to yield to Adam's influence over us, which is the spirit of man, or we're going to yield to the higher source, which is the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has a spiritual connotation because we are spiritual beings. We live in a physical house, which is our body, but we are spirit first. The scriptures say we are spirit, soul, then body.
Okay.
That's who we are as human creatures. And every time we respond and act, we're either glorifying God, or we're glorifying the flesh, or in some very, very very, very extreme ways, some people are totally committed to glorifying a satanically influenced life.
Gotcha. I understand better now. First, you had to go a little deeper, explain
Amen.
That to me. Everything is spiritual.
Yeah.
So this topic of spiritual sowing and reaping, I could go a whole lot further, but I want to take a moment, take a pause, and reach out or speak to my listeners who haven't made that fabulous decision to make Jesus the Lord
Amen.
And Savior of your life.
Yes.
Besides our relationship with God, and that is first and foremost, relationship with God. Besides that, as believers, winning souls or doing the evangelical work of our calling is uno number one.
Yes.
As we are talking about the heavenly stage and that our yielding to be Christ-like is a part of everything in our life.
Amen.
It is uno number one that we share Christ with those around us, that we have that mindset that, yes, I'm saved, and that is truly a blessing.
Amen.
And I'm going to heaven, and that's truly a blessing. I'm going to have eternal life, and that is awesome. But if we are embracing God, we're embracing that it is his desire that none would be lost.
Amen.
And that none should be lost is our mission. Yeah, you remember Mission Impossible.
Amen.
If you choose to take the mission on this one, God has called us, and this really isn't choosing. This is our calling.
Amen.
This is what we are here for, to win the lost, to be able to tell the world our testimony, to
yes.
be able to tell the world about God and what he's done for us individually, collectively, to present
yes.
the love of God to a world who desperately needs it. They need it for life, and that more abundantly, and they need it for life eternally.
Yes.
So I encourage all of my listeners who are still in the land of indecision, take time. Ask the Lord to come into your life, to come into your heart, to accept him as your Lord and Savior, and join this glorious family.
Amen. And you know, Sister Sybil, I can't emphasize it enough that if we have had an intimate relationship with Christ, if we have been touched by him, if we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if we have been born again, we are qualified witnesses. I know that, and I said this before, and I say it often, you are a qualified witness of Christ if you have had a personal experience with him. And I think that in some places, our religious teachings have indoctrinated us to believe, and I've said this before, that if you don't know scriptures, you don't know what to say to believers. You talk to them about your own personal experience. You talk to them about the transformation that takes place. As I said before, the man that said, come meet a man. that told me everything about myself. I mean, I'm paraphrasing to a degree. And that's what Jesus does in our lives. He makes us excited. And we don't ever want to allow religiosity to cause that excitement to be stifled. Because that excitement and that enthusiasm is contagious. And we as believers have been made to believe that if you don't quote from Genesis to Revelation, you're not going to be effective. Who does? The apostles surely didn't have it. They didn't have a whole Bible. They didn't have a Bible at all. I said this. You know, they had a few. They had some of the ancient manuscripts, perhaps. They had some Old Testament writing, and all of those were not even prepared yet at the time that they were witnesses.
This is something so valuable. I'm very interested in marketing and how things work. And it's just so interesting to me. I'm not a big fan of reality TV, but the world is. And reality TV has become a phenomenon.
Amen.
And what I find so interesting is they can start out with reality TV with some staging, but after a while, it all becomes staged.
Amen.
And what the marketing value is, the reality TV main ingredient is reality.
Amen.
The main ingredient is authenticity, genuinity.
Yes.
So when you talk about being excited about the Lord, or we talk about telling our own testimony, and you mentioned the disciples did not have at their disposal all that we have, but they quoted what they knew.
Amen.
And even Paul quoted philosophers.
That's right.
So having the power, having the Holy Ghost, having your experience with God, equipping you, qualifying
yes.
you to win the lost, in your genuinity or your testimony, your experience that you are sharing with someone that can captivate,
yes.
Empower, and change individuals,
yes.
there's a power with your story.
Amen. You know, it makes you realize that once you meet Jesus, you're qualified to hit the spot with somebody. You hit the spot because you're talking in a way that they haven't heard before. Amen. In many cases, you're talking with a sincerity and a pureness about an experience
yes.
that they can't deny. Amen. And many of us have this testimony that have gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. When we went to talk to the people, they could see the difference. They knew the difference. Amen. My friends, they didn't want to hang with me no more because they knew I wasn't going to be smoking weed no more.
But now, when it comes down to it, sometimes people who are closest to you and have known you a good stretch of time, they may be a bit of a hard one to win over.
Yeah,
but I want to give this example, okay? I'm a chef, and it's nothing like me telling you, if I go out somewhere and it's nothing compared to me coming home and saying, Melvin, you should have had this fish.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when I took one bite, it was this explosion in my mouth. My genuinity, authenticity, my passion, my experience can be described and convincing.
Amen. Absolutely.
We do it all the time.
Yes. And that's the power of personal experience. It's mm-hmm. like a person that witnessed a serious car accident.
Yeah.
When the investigators come on the scene, they ask, who saw what? Mm-hmm. This person here is so animated and they're so excited. This is what happened. You know, and that's the way it is when you meet Jesus. You can't meet Jesus and not be excited. You
yeah.
can't have a personal encounter with him and not go down the road and say, hey, come meet a man. Hallelujah. Don't make me shout up in here. Come meet a man who told me everything about myself.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. You have that life-changing experience. It is hard to sit on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it just they know, you know, we mentioned multi-level marketing. They know how powerful it is when somebody you know personally
yes.
shares with you. And that relationship should be founded in you being truthful. And it is the same with sharing about a restaurant or, wow, that movie, oh, that movie. Things that we are passionate about, we can express and influence.
Yes.
And I want to throw this in, since we have taken a good deal of time on the subject of soul winning, to encourage my listeners that as we share, as the Lord uses us, we cannot be discouraged with the result.
Amen. Amen.
That is such a powerful, freeing, liberating revelation
Amen.
For me. That I am called. I'm called to my grown children. I'm called to my grandchildren. I'm called to the grocery store clerk. I'm called to whoever my path I have an encounter with.
Yes.
But it is God's business to change them.
Amen.
It is up to God in the timing, in their reaction. It is such an interesting thing as a believer that you can speak the truth. You can share your testimony, and they fight the hardest because they are closest.
And you know what? As you were talking, what came to me, Paul planted.
Mm-hmm.
Apollos watered,
mm-hmm.
but God caused the increase.
Yes.
Amen. We sometimes can go to people and be rejected,
mm-hmm.
but that was an outcome that the God of wisdom and knowledge, of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, who chose before the foundation of the world for them to have that encounter and reject me, because rejection ain't the final outcome.
Yes, and the rejection could be that they are fighting hardest because
Amen.
They are the closest.
Amen.
They are losing, which is causing them to fight harder.
Yes. Amen. There's no getting around it. When you approach an individual and you know that you are moved by the unction and the power of God, you have to be willing to plant or do whatever your responsibility is, because we don't all have the same purpose. The scripture says that Paul planted. That's a hard job, because you got to dig the ground and you got to prepare the people to receive it. But he said Paul planted.
Can I add this in there?
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to do some gardening, so I was going to remove some grass to plant some vegetables in the backyard. That preparing the ground was so hard. I pulled something in my shoulder. My shoulder hurt me for a year. So when you said preparing and digging up the ground is hard, I got testimony. It's really hard.
Spiritual sowing can be hard. Yeah. You can get aches and pains.
Yeah.
Some people even cost them their lives.
Offense.
Amen.
Offense.
And so the scripture says that Paul planted.
Mm-hmm.
Who this man that the Lord had to knock down? Amen, on Damascus Road, because he was so anti-Christ, so
mm-hmm.
to speak, before his conversion. But Paul planted, Apollos watered. Watering is easy. You just hold a hole. They already got the seed planted. You just hold a hole there. You know how it is.
Yeah.
If you notice, yeah, people be out there watering, they just be just as happy and gay because they know the seed's already in the ground.
Yeah.
But in the end, it says, for God caused the increase. We have to realize our responsibility is to either plant or water.
And
God will cause the increase.
And when you talk about that increase, I remember being taught, do you have any land? Do you have anyone that came to Christ after you placed the invitation?
Amen.
And I was so convicted. I was like, nobody. I've never heard nobody say, what must I do to be saved? I never heard anybody say, yeah, let's pray. I want to accept Christ. But I understand. Like I said, it's so liberating to understand and know that by the time a person walks the aisles to take that invitation, to answer that invitation to salvation, it's been a great work that prepared the fallow ground, that pricked that heart. So by the time they said yes, it was a lot more work before that. So when it says God gives the increase, we may not witness the increase. We have to be confident and diligent in that watering, planting, watering, and then the final outcome. But always, always remaining steadfast that that is our calling. We are called to the world.
Amen. And I've heard many people testify in congregations that I've been through over the years that they are there because of a grandmother, or somebody that's gone on to be with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
who planted that seed,
mm-hmm.
and they went on off the scene, never seeing that necessarily seeing that person come to Christ.
Yeah,
but that's the beauty of the work of God. God is meticulous, and He has a plan for the world. Someone plants, another one waters, but God ultimately may give the increase, and you may never see the work that you have actually sown come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But we know that God is true to His word.
Yes, He is, and faithful, for as I mentioned earlier, it is the Lord's will,
yes.
that none should perish. And I don't know about you or my listeners, but I can tell you that it is a sacrifice to sow, to continue to pray and labor in prayer, and
yes.
even maintain faith, because we have the responsibility to believe as we are praying,
yes.
to pray for those who for year after year look like they're not going to be saved, and they don't have a mind to be saved.
Amen.
But like you mentioned, there are many before us that walk that path,
yes.
who maintain that diligence,
yes.
to bring their loved ones and neighbors and people they know before the Lord, politicians and the such, before the Lord concerning their salvation.
Yes.
Because as it is the Lord's will,
Amen.
That none be lost. We are failing at being Christ-like if we don't take up that heart that it is God's will that none would be lost.
Amen. And that's a very, very stacked deck. Amen. God's
what
will.
Do you mean?
That means that all of the divine energy and effort,
okay.
is put into God's desire to save.
Oh, boy.
You see, God's will, the Bible says, is that none should perish. Here it is. He's the primary source of all the power in the universe. And he says, the scripture says, through the apostles, God's will is that none should perish. It is the most powerful commitment in the universe. And so what we have to do as believers in Christ, we have to embrace that theological truth, to that we can't give up on people. How many times have we been in places and spiritual community and churches and things like that, and people just write folk off? Oh, he's not going to get saved. They've been witnessing to him for years. The grandmother was talking to him. It's been 30 years. She's been going, he ain't going to get saved. And we've all heard that, you know, if we've been around a church circle, we've heard that type of idea and that theological idea. God does not want anyone to be lost. It was for that reason that he robed himself in humanity and came down those generations to become the perfect sacrifice, that he could give it back to the Father, amen, that we might have redemption in his sonship.
Man, I'm listening to you, but my brain is just rolling, because you are right. The sacrifice, what the Lord did that not for the sole purpose that none would be lost,
Amen.
That you and I would not be lost, for my great-great-great-grandchildren, if he don't return,
yes.
not to be lost.
Amen.
And then I love this phrase you use, he invested in us.
Yes.
He decided that he would take his spirit and reside within us.
Yes.
Had to go through the trouble to create a new spirit,
yes,
that he could reside within us, that we would have this investment, the power and the tools to win the world.
Amen. God's will, the scripture says, is that none should perish.
The and the great lengths he went through for that.
Yes, and that doesn't rule out anybody. You know, sometimes even in many places in the body of Christ, we have theologically downplayed the failure of Adam's sin to the degree that we think that God is choosy about sinners.
Uh-huh.
We would, you know, we very, very unwillingly and not aware of it, at times say things that suggest that some people just can't be reached.
Uh-huh.
You know, the idea that they're just so far out there, they're in such a great sinful mess that God can't get to them. And we promote that idea many times in places of worship. You know, we tell folk, you know, God gonna get tired of you. Well, the average sinner, that tells him right away that I ain't got a chance. He's already running. Adam, where are you? Adam, the Lord said, Adam, where are you? He said, I knew I was naked, so I hid myself.
That's what sin does.
It
brings the guilt.
We have no comfort among the gatherings of the righteous as a sinner. We come in, we feel awkward, and sometimes people help us to feel awkward, and we preach messages that leave them no hope many times.
And that's important, because when we embrace this matter that we are empowered to win the lost, that we are on this mission that God has called us, we also have to be wise of the enemy's devices.
Yes.
And then we also need to be aware of our Adam nature.
Yes.
Our Adam nature is real easy for us through our self-pride to have this us for and no more.
Yes.
For us to be, for believers to be a part of a ministry and feel superior.
Yes.
Because we understand that we have the true and living way.
Yes.
And that is where the yellow caution light comes on, because we got it without cost.
Amen.
And how dare we become lifted up,
yes,
and thinking that I'm of a separate, selected, cherished group or whatever. Because when we look at some people in the Bible who God chose or God used mightily, they were so imperfect.
Amen.
And that whole being saved by grace, it was never us. He,
yes,
chose us.
Yes.
And to be lifted up or think more highly of yourself than you ought, to the level that you are not following through on the commission,
yes,
to go out into the world and preach the gospel, save a dying world.
Yes.
Now, we can't save, we ain't Jesus, but our assignment is to spread the word,
yes,
about Jesus.
We are ambassadors of hope.
Yes.
Amen. We're not, none of us are righteous in our own right. We are righteous because God imputes his righteousness unto us. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was imputed. That means put into his account for righteousness.
Just like the stimulus check. Just
right.
Put into the account.
Right.
You always use that word imputed, but I like to compare it to the stimulus,
right,
check.
Now,
it just drops in the account. Go ahead.
Amen. And so that's what we have to keep in mind. Christ gave us his righteousness. No one could earn it. Once Adam fell, everybody had to run and hide.
Everybody.
Everybody was a sinner. Amen. It was the doctrine of imputation. The doctrine of imputation is that Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Our righteousness is imputed or put into our account.
Mm-hmm.
Adam sinned and all of humanity, it was imputed unto them as sin. And so we are born sinners. We didn't have to lie. We didn't have to steal. We didn't have to murder. We came here alienated from God. And that's why Christ had to come and bring us back into proper order with the Father.
I totally respect that you read the word and that you have these words. But that word imputed, I struggle with. So I'm going to give you a little.
It's a legal term.
I'm going to give you a little transfer, a little flip-flop. You could say God electronic transferred into our account.
Okay, well, if in modern terms that make it plain, we will do that. Amen. It just simply means that it was put into our account without our righteousness.
So when it comes to Abraham, it was electronic transferred into his spiritual account, his righteousness.
He had nothing to do with it. Amen. And I think that, and while you're on that, I think that in many places in the body of Christ, that truth is lost. Because that truth being lost has caused many brothers and sisters to not feel welcome in the body. You know, we call them backsliders,
uh-huh.
or we call them those people who are not necessarily in a steady fellowship. They don't feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
But we have a responsibility to make it known that we are all here because God imputed his righteousness, and we are a work in progress.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank my listeners. Praise God for this evening's broadcast. I don't know whether you did, but I enjoyed it. It was enriching for even me as we discussed spiritual sowing. As we close, I want to give you an opportunity. You can email us, Elder Peoples is Mending God's People, and you can reach him or myself at sibylpeoples@yahoo.com. That's SibylPeoples. And now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for each and every one of our listeners, oh God. We thank you that they would join us again on the second Saturday and the fourth Friday of every month at 6:30. I pray, Lord, that you bless everyone who is going through this very tough season, Lord. Bless them in their body. There's so many people who are suffering with illnesses, oh God. Let your healing power come down, Father. I ask that you bless with provision, that your love and peace abound in every household, and we'll forever give you the praise and the glory. Amen and amen. See you next time.
And refuse to let me sink under the pressure. You meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard.